Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click Promote and publicize your congregation to the world.
We certainly have been in contact with the family, and we will continue to keep them updated as they are entitled to that information.
The U.S. Marshals Service has been directed by Attorney General Holder to increase the security for a number of individuals and facilities following the murder of a Dr. George Tiller.
Both Dr. Tiller and his family continually asked the question, if Dr. Tiller is not here to serve a woman's right to choose, who will be here to do it?
The voices of Nola Faustin. She's Wichita, Kansas District Attorney. Steve Blondo is of the U.S. Marshals Service. And Dan Monette is late George Tiller's attorney, talking about his former, quote-unquote, service to a woman's right to choose. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon, the 2nd of June. We begin with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse on the killing of George Tiller. Then we'll start a series on the Ten Commandments. Dr. Ken Schur will be our guest today. The commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Jennifer, you know the pro-life movement from the inside for many years. Do you think that all the extra security, some of the panic surrounding abortion clinics and abortion providers after George Tiller's murder is really necessary?
Well, honestly, I doubt very seriously that it's necessary, but I think you can't be too careful. I mean, I think at this particular moment, we've got I think it's obvious that we've got at least one really unhinged guy out there, who's now in custody. But, you know, the unhinged people are pretty unpredictable, and so there's always the possibility and concern about a copycat type of a thing. So, you know, it's probably appropriate to have some increased security for a while. But I am 100% sure that the person who did this, that the person who murdered George Tiller was acting alone, is not part of any kind of organized vigilante group or anything like that. And so I certainly hope that people don't overreact as if there were some kind of Christian Taliban floating around, because there absolutely is no such thing.
What was your first reaction when you heard the news about George Tiller's murder?
I thought it was a complete disaster. I mean, my first thought was, it's tragic that somebody did this. Of course, the first thing you have to say is that it's a crime. The taking of a life in this way, no matter what George Tiller has done, it's not for a private individual to execute somebody, no matter what they think. So this is a very serious crime that was committed. It needs to be prosecuted as a crime. But having said that, my next thought was, this is a public relations disaster for the pro-life movement. It will embolden people who believe that the pro-life movement is full of nut jobs, and the people who are looking for excuses to infringe people's legitimate free speech rights to speak out against the horrors of abortion. I know for a fact that that's going to be the response of a lot of people, and that will really be too bad. So, you know, it's a disaster, but basically, and we need to be mourning for the crime that was committed here, and we need to be in prayer for Dr. Tiller and his soul, which needs all the prayer it can get, I would think, and also prayer and comfort to his family. But that said, the pro-life movement has to go on and speak the truth, but always speak the truth in love in these matters.
One of the things that concerned me, speaking of speaking the truth, is the very quick equation that's been made in the press by law enforcement as well between public protest, peaceful public protest and demonstration, and the kind of violence that was perpetrated against George Tiller.
Yes, that's what worries me as well, Todd. And you know, honestly, the double standard or the triple standard or the quadruple standard, however you want to put it, that exists in the media. I mean, a Marine Corps, what was it, a recruiting officer was murdered the other day, and nobody went out and said, well, we better check out MoveOn.org and, you know, and Code Pink and all of those people. When the gays rioted out here and, you know, were harassing people and so on, you know, basically they got to do what they wanted, and nobody said, oh, we need to shut down the right of the gay lobby to peacefully protest. No, it's just pro-life people that are considered dangerous. And, you know, when you look back over, you know, even some of the newspaper stories had, you know, a timeline of abortion clinic violence over the last 10 years. And what you look at it, when you look at it, you think, you know, for goodness sake, you know, the people in the Gaza Strip would take out more people than that in a single afternoon compared to what has taken place over the last 20 years. You know, there really aren't that many people that have been harmed in abortion-related violence. So there really is a disproportionate response on the part of the news media, and unfortunately, I'm afraid by some law enforcement.
What can you say to pro-choice listeners? Pro-choice listeners.
Go ahead. No. Finish your question.
I was just going to say to both alleviate any concerns, warranted or not, that they might have about the pro-life movement, but also to correct any, stereotypes about the violence of the pro-life movement.
I would invite pro-choice people to come to a clinic where there is where people are doing sidewalk counseling or praying in front of an abortion clinic. I mean, I've done this myself. I've prayed in front of abortion clinics, and you know, it's completely benign. It's completely tame. And so, I would invite people to get acquainted with somebody who's actually doing it, and you'll see that most of these people are really quite normal, and that whoever this person is who murdered George Tiller is completely an outlier. I mean, not too long ago, here in Oakland, nearby in Oakland, California, the Oakland City Council passed an ordinance saying that you can't get within 100 feet of the entrance to an abortion clinic with a sign or with literature or talk to anybody. And so an African-American pastor made a point of doing exactly those three things, of going to a clinic with a sign saying, Jesus loves you and your baby, let us help. He had literature in his hand, and he would approach women and say, good morning, may I speak with you about alternatives to the clinic? And for that, he was arrested, and he was put in jail for 19 days in Oakland. That's what has happened. That man is completely exercising his free speech rights, but that kind of action has been criminalized. It's completely unwarranted, you know. But this really, truly lawless act that somebody committed here in going to a church and murdering somebody in cold blood in a church, I really am concerned that this will embolden people to pass additional restrictions that restrict people's freedom of speech that is and assembly, that freedoms that are really quite legitimate.
It's odd, three things kind of aligning like stellar phenomenon in the last month or so. The recent poll that showed that for the first time, a bare majority of Americans consider themselves, for one reason or other, pro-life. The president speaking at Notre Dame University and getting pretty much nothing but great PR out of it, Roman Catholic University, and then the killing of George Tiller. I know that these things are all, of course, coincidence, but what do you think emerges after all of this last month of pro-life news, pro-choice news, for the public to consume here? What should be the takeaway headline?
Boy, that's a good question. that's a very good question. I think that part of what we see is desperation on all sides. You know, this shooting gave Barack Obama the opening that he needed to condemn the pro-life movement in various ways, and it gives people the opening to limit speech, is what I'm afraid is going to happen. And it's a black eye for the pro-life movement. There's no doubt about it. Even though every major serious person in the pro-life movement has come out and condemned the killing and has distanced themselves from it in the strongest possible terms. There's just no doubt that it's a setback, and I hope that it doesn't erode the support that you mentioned that as the first item of your trinity of important news items relating to the pro-life movement. I hope it doesn't erode support. I hope people can see past it. And you know, honestly, I think most people who are not ideological, most non-ideological people, can look at this murder and see it for what it is. That this is the individual action of a deranged person, and does not represent the face of all of the millions of people across the country who are having crisis pregnancy clinics and who are doing sidewalk counseling in front of clinics and all of the other things that the pro-life movement is so involved in doing. You know, this man who shot another human being in cold blood is not the face of the pro-life movement. And the whole pro-life movement, I think, knows that and condemns him in no uncertain terms.
Folks, you'll find a link to Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse and to the Ruth Institute under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Todd. Thank you, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we're going to begin our series on the Ten Commandments. It begins with the commandment, you shall have no other gods. Dr. Ken Sherb will be our guest. This first of the commandments is fundamental to the commandments. It really is the commandment from which all the others spring and flow. We'll talk about that first with Dr. Ken Sherb coming up on the other side of this break. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 2nd of June, here on Issues Etc. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click promote and publicize your congregation to the world.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.